This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 11th, 2022, Wednesday in the fourth week of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus cried out and said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost." Many times when Jesus says things, we have that, "Amen, amen, I say to you," or Jesus said to his disciples. This is an emphasis, this exclamation. Jesus cried out and said, he wants this to be no mistake whatsoever that it must be heard. And it's interesting what he speaks about. What we just read in the gospel, seven verses, John chapter 12, 44 through 50. Seven verses in the scripture, and what it is the close of our Lord's public ministry. It is the end of everything I'm teaching everybody. From henceforth in the Gospel of John, we have our Lord's teaching of his apostles at the Last Supper and his passion, death, and rising again. But this is the close of his public ministry. And he cries out, in a nutshell, you better have listened to what I said, because that is the linchpin upon which you will be judged. He cries out and says what? He reiterates the fundamentals of his public ministry. You look at the Gospel of John, it's kind of interesting how deep the Gospel of John is. John chapter 1, first 14 verse. We hear at the end of every Mass, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. To those who believe in him, he gives power to become the sons of God. Chapter 6, the Eucharist. I mean, verse after verse after verse about the Eucharist. If you spend any time at all studying John 6 to where you could even begin to scratch the surface apart, it would take you the rest of your life to read that chapter to understand the profound things that our Lord has communicated to us about the Eucharist and about him giving his body and blood for us. He has said all these things, and now in seven verses, he really puts it all in a nutshell. The need for faith in him. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. This is not a discounting of himself or a self-deprecation. He is saying that he and the Father are one. He is talking about the necessity of faith in him. If you believe in God, this is what dashes and pulls the rug out from under all these arguments. Oh, those people are monotheistic. That means they're okay. They claim to be the children of Abraham. They're okay. No, they're not, because they don't believe in him, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. This is why he says in several other places throughout the Gospels that if you don't know him, you don't know the Father. You can be monotheistic till the cows come home. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know God, because that's the way God has revealed himself in this world. Jesus Christ in his incarnation put a face on God. He made God real for us, not just some transcendent being that we try to get our head around, lives in heaven, to whom we cannot relate. We can relate to Jesus Christ because he was tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. He relates to us. He expects us to relate to him. So this need to have faith in him and him alone, he puts in a nutshell right here, because he's talked about it throughout the rest of the gospel. That whole idea of the Father and Son being one yet distinct, He who sees me sees him who sent me. Or Philip, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice. Not good enough that you walk on water and raise dead people and make blind people see, make crippled people walk. You know, that's not enough. Show us the Father and that will suffice. Jesus said, you missed it, Philip. If you see me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. The Father and Son, one yet distinct. He who sees me sees him who sent me. He teaches that he is the light and life of the world. I have come as the light of the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Everybody who does not believe in him remains in darkness. Monotheistic, child of Abraham, so claimed, or not, if you don't know him, you live in darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Our Lord, in these few verses, he encapsulates the fundamentals that we need to believe. Because why? He goes on to say that, in so many words, men will be judged as to whether or not they've received these fundamentals. I've just spent 3 years of public ministry talking to you, not just telling you, showing you who I am, showing you of what I am capable, because I'm God. I can do little things like change water into wine, do all those other miracles that I just mentioned before. I've shown you, I've told you, and now, are you going to believe it or are you not? Are you going to receive me or are you going to reject me? This is the question. He says it. He who rejects me and does not receive my saying has a judge, the word that I have spoken. This should give us pause to think about what our Lord is saying here. And notice he says in John chapter 3, he says again here, like I said, he's encapsulating everything right here in just a few verses. This idea that, and I always say, we love to hear, I have not come to condemn the world. He even says it again here, does not receive me. He has a judge. The word that I say is going to, I don't have to judge you. This is how important it is to embrace these fundamental truths. I'm done. I've come to save the world. How does he save the world? He proclaims these fundamentals, and then he seals them in his own blood, and then rises again from the dead of his own power to prove to us by the pinnacle miracle of the resurrection that he is indeed God Almighty himself. I've said everything I have to say. This is why the judgment seat, I think we all have these visions of the, okay, you're accused of doing this and you're accused of doing that. You're accused of not doing this and not doing that, not dotting this I and crossing this T. How do you plead? There's going to be none of that at the final judgment. The final judgment is going to be you standing before the judgment seat of Christ and the books being opened, as it says in the book of Revelation. The books will be opened. He will have to say nothing. The books will be opened, everything will be laid out, and there will be no answer. Here is my word, here is my truth. Did you try your best to conform to it in faith and obedience? There will be no, did you do this, did you not do, none of that. You'll just be confronted of not or adhering to his word. So this is why I have not come to condemn the world. And earlier in John, I have not come to condemn the world, but to save it, because the world is condemned already. That world that lives in darkness, that's a huge percentage of the people on the face of this planet, huge percentage, they're in darkness. Unless they embrace the light, there is no hope for them. They're in darkness. There's another group, some of whom think they may be in the light, but they're not. Again, the percentages are against those who are doing the right thing. Many will come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And I will look at them and say, I never knew you. These people legitimately think and believe. They call him Lord. It's not like the Judas master. It's not like that. These people believe that he is their Lord, but they have not embraced the truths that he has proclaimed. We're seeing that a lot in our own church. Heresy, it's very overused now. Why is it so overused? Because it's so prevalent. It's starting to not mean anything anymore. That bishop's a heretic. That cardinal's a heretic. But there are so many. Okay, it's really kind of dulling the senses to the whole thing. We've got cardinals and bishops throwing out what they are saying is gospel truth, and it's not what Jesus says. Just this week, what do we hear? Christ died for everyone. He died for this. He died for that. He died for pagans. He died for brigands. He died for apostates. He died. Yes, he did. He died for them all. And now that redemption has to be applied to them in justification as individuals. They have to embrace that truth as individuals. But the person who said that at the end of this big list, Christ died. This is why it's not such a big deal to proselytize people, because Christ died for everyone. That's universalism. That, in its purest sense, is heresy. That is not what the Catholic Church teaches. Never has. That's why we have these little things like the Great Commission. Go therefore, baptize them, teach them all that I have commanded you. This is why Sunday's reading, St. Paul, they were presented the gospel. This person that said this week, that one that just gave the list of Christ died for all these people, so we don't have to proselytize because he died for them all. Most bishops celebrate Mass on Sunday. I'm like, were you not listening to the first reading on Sunday? When St. Paul looks at the Jews and says, you have rejected the word of God. You have counted yourself unworthy of eternal salvation. I mean, I kind of harped on that on Sunday, right? I mean, that was in a nutshell, the homily. Hey, pay attention to this. If you reject God, you reject eternal salvation. It's on you. And then you get somebody in a much higher place of authority than me say, you don't have to worry about that. He died for, did you not listen to the first reading? Your statement is inconsistent, Bishop. That's the reality. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge, the word that I have spoken. My word, not what some bishop says somewhere else. Not what any individual thinks about the world. This will be his judge on the last day. Not me. I don't have to say a word. I am not going to have to say, I accuse you of this. How do you plead? Not going to happen. It's not going to be that way. My saying has a judge. The word that I have spoken, this will be his judge on the last day. This is God's truth. This is why I emphasize in our day, it is so important to understand it. If I say understanding, I mean, know at least what it says. This is about hearing and doing the word of God. There are a lot of people who hear it, but they hear it through their own lenses, so to speak. They view it through what they like, what they think is palatable, what they think the world will like, and that's not going to cut it one bit, not one bit. We have to hear what he says, and we have to live by it. We have to do it. This is the reality of our faith. This is what we have to live out in our Catholic lives. Because, again, we, as I said Sunday, are going to be responsible for our eternal destiny. He has done everything that he possibly can, including dying for our sins. his passion, the most horrible of crimes that has ever been committed against any human being, much less the God-man. He has done this for us, and we're going to take it upon ourselves to pick and choose what parts of the truth that he said. The height of sacrilege. This is our Catholic faith. We need to know it. We need to live it. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.